It's been my privilege as I was growing up to associate myself with a construction company. We went down and built 93 miles of the Pan-American Highway through Costa Rica and Panama and Venezuela, and then also we widened the Panama Canal. And while we were doing all of this, I took several side trips to all the areas of Central and South America to enable me now for the past 30 years to have visited almost all the major ruins of Central and South America, the ancestors of the American Indian. And one of the things that has worried me a little bit is the fact that many Mormons use the Book of Mormon and say this is the origin of the American Indian. The Book of Mormon doesn't make that claim. And so I'd like to suggest to you that you study with me or think about the fact that the Book of Mormon is a great, honest, and true record of three groups of people who came here, but perhaps not the origin of all of the ancestors of the American Indian. I'd like to read you a scripture in 2 Nephi, first chapter and the fifth verse. Lehi speaking said, "Notwithstanding our afflictions, we have obtained a land of promise, a land which is choice above all other lands, a land which the Lord God had covenanted with me and should be a land for the inheritance of my seed. Yea, the Lord hath covenanted this land unto me and to my children forever, and also, listen, and also all those who should be led out of other countries by the hand of the Lord." So the Jaredites had already come. The Lehi colony had arrived. It's prophesied the Amalekites had already left. So who are these other people who are going to come? Well, they could have been the pilgrims. They could have been our ancestors. They could have been a lot of people. And I'd like to suggest that you think for a moment exactly what the Book of Mormon claims. The claim of the Book of Mormon is that the Lord led three groups of people here, and he had a prophets among them. He gave them instructions, and he gave them scripture, which we have. One of the most treasured things in life that we as Latter-day Saints have is this record of the Book of Mormon. But I want to point out to you that science has come along and said some of the people came over the Bering Straits. And I am one who believe that that's possible. So I think some people did come over the Bering Straits and filter down through that area and down through Canada and part of the United States. I also believe that there's a chance, and I use this word possible, because I want to point out to you what the Scripture says in the Bible. When I was very young in elementary school, I remember my teacher going to the board and having a map of the world on the board. She took a piece of tracing paper and traced the area where the Atlantic Ocean is. And you have to imagine this in your mind. And when she did that, she took this tracing paper and placed it down and cut out the Atlantic Ocean. And then she placed the two pieces of paper together and they fit. And I remember that, even young as I was. And when I got into college, I listened to the professor even talk about this same theory, that at one time the land was in one place, joined together, and there was no Atlantic Ocean. Well, that seems to be something that some of the scientists now say, that at one time, 200 million years ago, the continents were together. Well, the Bible talks about this. In Genesis, we have the idea that the land was in one place and the water was in one place. Now, with that situation, when God placed Adam and Eve on this continent, the land was in one place, and the ocean was in one place, or the sea. And when Adam and his descendants lived, they wandered all over this one area. In fact, I went back to the Coster site in Illinois, and they were digging at this site, and it went down 11 levels. So with the bottom layer, they found a dog, the remains of a dog, and the woman was an archaeologist. The woman archaeologist was in charge there, and I said to her, "Well, this probably is Adam's dog." And she knitted her brow and thought I was crazy. And then I said, "Well, you know, Adam lived about 200 miles from here," and then she knew I was crazy. But you see, on this one continent Earth, We are claiming the Garden of Eden being in near Jackson County, Missouri. And we're suggesting that when the flood came and Noah built his ark and he landed, that after he landed and the water receded, the land was still in one place, according to the scriptures. And for about 150 to 300 years, it's a little difficult to pinpoint the time, but about 200 years or 250 years, the land was still in one place with Adam's ark and the animals coming from that and his descendants coming from that ark on this one continent earth. So I'm suggesting that as you look in archaeology and look in the Americas, there's a possibility of some of Noah's descendants there as well as Adam's descendants. So when archaeologists find artifacts and they say this is such and such, belongs to such and such Indian culture, we have to be careful as Latter-day Saints, because we are saying also in the days of Peleg was the earth divided and the Atlantic Ocean created. Now this differs, this differs a little bit with science, because they say that this has taken place inch by inch over 200 million years. But at least we agree on the fact that at one time the earth was together and now it's been separated. And we are saying perhaps that the Lord caused a cataclysmic event to cause that to happen. And I'd like to leave you with a question that I'm going to try to answer. Why was the earth divided? That's a major, major project. Any of you who have traveled across the Atlantic or flown over it or in a boat or whatever, that is a big project. Now, the Lord caused that to happen. Let's put it that way. After it has happened, there's been prophecy that it's going to come back together again during the millennium. So why? Why was the earth divided? And I hope to give you that answer. As a result of my research, anyway, it's my opinion that the Orientals came across the Pacific. We have Oriental blood and the blood types that we've tested among the Indians. We've got the facial characteristics, especially Copan, Honduras, and Middle America, of the Orientals being here. So I think that is established. I think the Vikings came before Columbus and the Spaniards. And I think that fact and their being associated with the Indians has already been established. I think the Phoenicians came across and perhaps inhabited some of Brazil, as well as these other people who could have come. So I'm suggesting that you think that the ancestors of the American Indian could have come from the Bering Straits. We know they came from the Book of Mormon people. We know that there's possibilities of Noah's descendants being here before the Jaredites now. We think the Orientals came over from the Pacific. We know that the Vikings were here, and we think the Phoenicians came to mix in with the Book of Mormon people. It's my opinion that the Book of Mormon people became the nucleus of all these other groups that came, and the Lord chose those three groups for him to reveal the gospel of Jesus Christ, for them to disseminate. Where did Korihor come from, for example, in the Book of Mormon? Where did Sherem and these other people who just came unannounced and amongst the group and preaching and teaching and so forth? There's a lot of questions that we have about the Book of Mormon and about the ancestors of the American Indian. We do not know all the answers. The Lord has just not revealed it. It might be that before he comes a second time or before our judgment, that he will cause so much to be revealed to us that we'll be left without excuse in looking at the Book of Mormon any way you want to look at it, scientific or otherwise. You see, when Joseph came forth with this record, people criticized it terribly. They tore it apart scientifically, cement, highways, all of this sort of thing. And about only 15% were noticeable. Now it's completely turned around. There's only about 15% of the Book of Mormon that I can't show to any group of scientists the plausibility and the possibility of it being true. All of those things have come to pass, and maybe the Lord in the next few years is going to allow the rest of us so that we'd be left without excuse at all. 30 years trying to eliminate obstacles of people who are looking at the Book of Mormon critically, trying to disprove it. And I met one in California just 2-3 days ago when I was there. Very much of a heckler, who was an intellectual who wanted to disprove everything. I says, help yourself. I says, if you want to disprove it negatively, that's up to you. Because I have no worry about it, as long as you'll read and study and ponder the record. My point is, all of my archaeological and external evidences that I have tried to find have shown that the record is true. That will not convert, nor will it give you a testimony of the Book of Mormon. The testimony of the Book of Mormon comes when you have studied it, pondered it, and asked the Lord to bless you with His Spirit. And as you read it, as my wife and I are doing again for the umpteenth time, to have that wonderful feeling, knowing that this record is true and gives us so much insight into the gospel of Jesus Christ. But, on the other hand, I know of thousands, literally thousands of people who have come into the church simply because they've been stimulated by the external evidences that are evident. I want to suggest to you something that I suggested to an apostle, so I have his permission to repeat it publicly. And that is that the reason why the Atlantic Ocean was created was to give us the Book of Mormon. Now, that's a big project, and God caused that to happen, and Scripture affirms that. And we have God's law of witnesses, and we have a Bible for a witness that God came and Christ taught and organized the church in that continent. We have the Book of Mormon as another witness that God came to this continent, two major continents in the world. And we have that testament now. And we have the suggestion, and not suggestion, but the prophecy that these continents were going to come together during the millennium. And so it's my opinion, and I ask his permission if I could state it publicly, that shows me how important the Book of Mormon is. Now, in your young lives, you're going to realize how important it is as you grow older. And some of you have been on missions, and some of you know its importance and have a testimony already. I was invited to Duke University to give a talk to a group of ministers who were preparing to become ministers. And as I talked to them, I told them that if you're going to go out and preach the gospel to the world, I said, you're going to have to know that there's another book of Scripture. And then I told them about the Book of Mormon as their mouths fell open. And for the next hour, I talked to them about this wonderful book of Scripture. So I had a heckler in that group, however, who said, well, if you're going to tell us that we had another book of Scripture for the American continent, what about China and Asia and all these other places where there were people living at the time of Christ who never heard of the Savior? And I thought for a moment that he had me. But then I answered, and I think I was inspired. I says, well, I've found the one for America. You find the one for Asia and China. The message of the Book of Mormon is a little different than the Bible. And I'd like to point out to you that the Bible was written and inspired and is a great and wonderful book. But it was written to people in those days about their problems and about that solution. And we have to use that sort of scripture to analyze our problems and apply the thing. Paul wrote his letters. He wrote most of the New Testament. He wrote those letters in answers to problems that those people wrote to him about, of problems that they had in that day. And we try to get those same kind of problems and associate it with what we're doing now. But the Book of Mormon is different. Mormon and Moroni, who wrote most of the Book of Mormon, were inspired to take from these volumes of records that have been kept for almost 2,800 years, and the Lord told them, I'm going to inspire you to take from those records some things that will not be read by any of your peers, but will be read by you, this future generation. And so this is what happened. And so we have those two kinds of scripture, but combined they help us understand. You know, there's nothing in the Book of Mormon about baptism for the dead. And salvation for the dead is very loosely interpreted in the Book of Mormon. We have to have the Bible for that. And, of course, modern revelation. So they supplement each other, and we have to know that. There's two other points I'd like to make. One is concerning Polynesia. And that is, these people had boats from the time they landed. They're not going to let these boats bob up and down in the harbor and rot. People are going to get in them, and they're going to go north and south and go all over, and they're going to build boats. They knew how to build boats. They came and arrived in boats. Even the Jaredites did. So Hagoth was not the only one who was a boat builder, and so they traveled all over the place. And so the Polynesian Islands could have been inhabited by almost anybody. But what we are saying in the Book of Mormon, and what is best for you not to quote the Book of Mormon when we talk about Polynesia, is best to quote our prophets. We have Brother Kimball, Brother Cowley, Brother McKay, and several others who've gone over there and prophesied that those people were children of Lehi. And so we have the commerce going from South America and Central America to Polynesia and also back. And I think that we need to understand that as we talk about Polynesia. The other point is on geography. A lot of people are concerned about where all these sites are. Nobody really knows. In the Book of Mormon, we don't have enough detailed information to be specific. We've got several theories. I've summarized about 8 of these theories in one of my books. But the point is, how important is it for you to know? It won't affect your testimony at all. And it might be all right for the LDS archaeologists to study this and try to go there and help us in the curiosity that we have as to where these sites are. And if we ever find any that are exactly what we think they are, it might help us, but it won't increase our testimony. So I'd like to suggest that you not spend a lot of time in the geographical application of the Book of Mormon. God is not a respecter of persons. He will give the people on this continent the same opportunity that he gave the people where he gave the Bible. And so with this in mind, he is not a respecter of persons. He will visit everybody who is interested and give them at least a chance to understand the gospel. And of course, this is what the whole salvation for the dead principle is involved. So I'd like to leave you with 2 points. One is, don't ever apologize for the Book of Mormon. And don't ever try to defend it. It doesn't need defending. It doesn't need to be apologized for. Get yourself a strong testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ through reading both scriptures, and you'll be able to withstand anything that comes. And I think your generation is the generation that's going to perhaps usher in the second coming. I don't know that, of course. But maybe my generation has missed it. But there have been several people who have analyzed the second coming and think that it could be accomplished within the next 25 years. All of the prophecies concerning it could happen during that time. And we're getting pretty close. So I'd like to just ask you, almost beg you, if I could, to appreciate what you have. The Book of Mormon is the Word of God and the second witness. We're going to have other witnesses. We'll have the record of the lost tribes during the millennium at least. And so we're going to have whatever God needs to give us to help us understand our principles that are taught in your seminary and institute. So I ask the Lord to help you understand and appreciate what you've got. You have the truth. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.